Hour number two of overtime, Fan Run Radio. Davis.
Yes.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Have either of you two ever had to operate a jackhammer?
Absolutely not. Not once in my life.
Well, I had to do that today.
Sounds like a joyous activity for you.
Matthew, I want you to describe to the audience what I'm wearing right now.
You're wearing a Tennessee, what is that? Is that quarter zip?
Don't forget the croquis.
Oh, yeah. So you got your hat on, your croquis, which I don't know what those are to begin with. I don't have shoes, sunglasses.
Hey, dudes.
Like slippers.
Oh, yeah. I know what hey dudes are. You're wearing shorts, a blue t-shirt, those Oakleys.
And a hat.
I'm not a GDI. I wear Costas.
Okay. I don't know. Coasters and a hat with a leather thing on top of it.
I operated a jackhammer while wearing this. My back hurts.
Man, why don't they have y'all like some, construction?
Dr. Laura Linderman, help me.
Hey, man, you can thank the people at Kingston Pike, man. You made me go help those people out, man. Sat there for 8 hours, they didn't do a damn thing.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even get me started. Those guys just standing around smoking cigs,
talking about
their wives and whatever else under God's green earth. Well, they blocked off the entire intersection. So it's like L.A. traffic, just traffic out of the ass. It's ridiculous.
Wait. Y'all go to the chiropractor?
No, I'm not talking about chiropractor. I'm talking about Kingston Pike and the street by the river.
Yeah,
oh, they're on camp by campus.
So the,
Neyland?
The street.
Yeah, Neyland. Yeah, so Kingston Pike and Neyland.
Yeah, so this, and then Kingston's here.
Yeah.
I'm coming back from Chick-fil-A to go home.
Of course you're going to Chick-fil-A.
Actually, I went to Kroger, but same thing, basically. I just say Chick-fil-A because it's the same thing. Come down to one lane. I sat in bumper-to-bumper traffic from Foz Church Knox all the way until the Neyland and Kingston Pike exit for 30 minutes.
That's a disaster. I don't know what they're doing.
They're digging something up on the side of the road, so they made it one lane, and you can't go down Neyland.
Nope.
And
they already cut off a lane to turn left to go on to Kingston Pike coming from Neyland the other way, so it's a disaster.
It's like a football game.
Literally.
Yep.
Just imagine me on the jackhammer just hammering all up and down the road.
I don't know, you'd do a better job than mine. I literally saw eight people just standing around in a circle this morning at 10:30 in the morning doing nothing with their lives besides smoking a cigarette and looking into a hole, man. What are you doing? Taking the dimensions of a hole? I don't know what you're waiting on. Do your job, please.
Oh, man.
So that, I don't know, that students like us can
So we can get to our jobs.
Yeah, so we get to our jobs, get to our classes so we're not late to class. No, you're going to sit there smoking a cigarette, doing nothing with your life. Get paid. I don't know how much you get paid, but I'm sure it's way too much.
It's Cub, so figures.
Yep.
Were they smoking real cigarettes?
I don't know. I didn't get that close to them. I'm not getting that close to them.
I don't know what they're doing.
Dr. Linderman helped my back. My knees. Everything hurts.
I think we're all in that boat. I think everybody in the world has knee and back pain every single day.
Oh, I have knee and back pain right now. I'm sitting down.
Yep.
Every morning I wake up, have to crack my back, or I won't be able to stand up that day.
Here we go. One of our loyal listeners, if my phone would load, shut up, Siri.
Nice.
Okay, I don't want Apple Pay either.
Nice.
Goodness. Runs a landscaping business. Goes to the chiropractor. Massages. Steroid shots in the back. I need to go see Dr. Joe Cairo. That's what I need to do.
Steroid shots, boy.
Yeah, I had to get a steroid shot one time. Not in the back, though.
I think it was my knee or something.
Or my butt, man.
Nice.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. Larry, help.
I can't even say it. Y'all have me freaking crying right now.
I mean, we're talking about steroid injections in somebody's quote-unquote hip?
Anyway,
the rear?
Talk about people not doing their job, just smoking cigarettes.
Talking about their wives.
First of all y'all need to just shut the hell up about aches and pains because some of us are old, decrepit, fat farts. And we got more aches and pains in our body than we can count, more than the years y'all have been alive.
Okay, you said farts. I thought you said something else. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, good Lord. Holy crap. You know I love you, brother. Who in the fresh hell gave you a jackhammer?
Well, I made an executive decision. I made it happen.
Holy crap. I would have actually liked to have seen that. That probably was pretty funny.
Oh, you should have seen me trying to load this thing back up. Putting it on the dolly, back to the truck, and then loading it into the back of the truck, slumped over.
Oh, crap.
Matthew, I'm stop dying with the visuals. We all know what it looked like.
I am so glad that this is radio right now. I'm just saying.
Oh, if it were TV, if we had the Periscope up, it
viral.
It would be legendary.
Listen, I'm trying to drive home. I'm half wrecking. I've got a car that I really want to eat, but I'm about to drive into a ditch. But at least I got food with me so I wouldn't die.
Hey!
Phil, please, 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 Phil, don't ever let me get on your bad side. I don't want to be the next one having the shot taken at me because, he gets them parting shots in, and they're damn good. They are good.
Oh, they are. The parting shots are the best from Phil.
I love hearing Phil call. I love hearing Martin call. I love TJ, the Kentucky fan. Listen, he's always got – he brings it. So I just – you know, I enjoy listening to y'all when I'm driving home. It's a lot of fun.
Appreciate that.
I am still not letting up on Barnes. I don't give a damn. He can get us to the Final Four. Maybe we'll talk. Maybe not. Get us to the title game. If you don't win it, I'm still not letting up. But listen, the Lady Vols last night, holy crap. They just absolutely just kept shoveling the dirt on top of that other team. It was crazy.
What they win by?
Oh, dude, it was almost a 50-point win.
Doubled them, 94-47.
Yeah, 47 or 48. Oh, the last Lord. Time, or the last, they have, this was the fourth time in their history that they have beaten their first two opponents in the tournament by 30-plus. The other three times, title win, runner-up. Just saying. I know they've lost to South Carolina twice. That's hard to beat a team three times. I know South Carolina is good. Believe me, I would rather not have to face them again. But I'm not betting against them. I think they have hit their stride at the right time. When they lost to VT the last time, it was in December. They've only lost a couple of games since then, and both of them, I believe, were to South Carolina. So don't sleep on them. They have a really good shot at this thing. I'm excited for those ladies. I'm excited for our men. I'm just, you know, it's a great time to be a Volunteer fan. It really is. And I can't wait for the 15th to come up the hill and be up there and be in the stadium again because there is no better place on earth to be than Neyland Stadium. Y'all listen, have a great night. Keep up the great work. Keep up the laughter. And go big frickin' orange.
Appreciate the phone call, Larry. I thought he said something.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, I thought he said something else as well, but hey.
Larry's pretty good, and even when I met Larry in person, he not real big on the cussing. Not real big on it at all. He's a better man than me.
And me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we've all had our fair share.
Yep.
And I wonder what people think that have never met us. Obviously, Phil got his dose of it. Jordan did last week as well. Like, when we're not in studio. You're talking to three sailors here.
Yeah.
It's, I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea what bear looked like. And then I was like, oh, okay. I just didn't know what to expect.
Real impressed on that one, aren't you?
Nah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, never be like, I never met Marcus before either until, like, I don't know, was that last summer?
What the hell are we watching? Why are we watching the Disney Channel?
Phineas and Ferb.
Would you rather watch? There's nothing on TV. This is the deadest of the dead right now. Until Thursday, there's nothing on.
I'd rather watch Phineas and Ferb than watch Eastern Kentucky play.
I'm not watching Eastern Kentucky in Southern Illinois. Yeah, I'd rather watch Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Be my guest.
Can we watch SpongeBob?
Not on. Cocomelon, 5 years old.
Absolutely not.
Family Feud.
Oh, Steve Harvey. No, thanks.
No, I'm good. Big Bang Theory, I'm good. I don't want to learn about school
Now. Since Jake complained about Phineas and Ferb, we're changing it to Telemundo.
Yep, Telemundo. This is what you get, Jake.
What a girl wants with Sarah.
Nah, man, you get Telemundo.
What is...
Telemundo is what you get now. Where is Telemundo at? You pass it?
Nah, you still got to go.
You still got to keep going? Okay.
Oh, we got a while, it looks like.
No. It comes up pretty fast.
What is Telemundo?
You'll see. You'll see. Telemundo!
There it is.
La Casa de las Famosas is on right now.
I can't read!
Oh, it's Spanish. It's our thing.
I can't read!
There's Regiones a la...
Reaction to the elimination of Arthur.
Arthur.
Arthur, Arturo.
Yeah. Regiones a la eliminación de Arturo.
Yeah.
You know, this used to be a...
What?
Like a Hispanic-themed radio station before Nate bought it, right?
Ah, nice. Well, it's Esta Noche down there.
Yeah, well, then this was probably on a lot.
Yeah, it's...
What?
Wago de...
This room didn't exist, Davis. Like, you see this little piece right here where it looks like it's broken off?
Yeah.
That and back is what the studio used to be before
it's
this room
got torn
down.
It's a tiny little cubicle that Catlin is in right now. That was their entire station.
Whole studio?
That, and then you had a couple mics right here. Well, you can still see one of the arms, but... The entire studio used to be just this small room.
Oh. Well, Juego de Mientras, Esta Noche, 10 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Matthew, I don't know what you're saying.
Well, is that milk?
No, Esta Noche? Leche is milk. Esta Noche is tomorrow.
Help! Somebody help!
Tonight, I'm sure tonight. People are enjoying this commentary.
I'm not enjoying it! I don't know what he's saying!
Telemundo. Hey, we get it. You know Spanish. You took your pulse.
We're about to play in the Sweet 16 on Thursday, and then all I hear is Raquione Elemention de Arturo.
Hey, man, okay, I think it's just Big Brother or something. It's like the Telemundo version of Big Brother.
Why is it censored?
I don't know.
Well, okay, so...
What are we...
Score predictions for Thursday.
I don't care about that, right? Just get me back on track to what we're supposed to talk about.
Well, I just did.
In a language that I can understand.
English. Hey, predicciones.
Oh, my goodness.
Predicciones el...
basketball.
Yeah, no, it's... I'll get it. There you go.
Yeah, just play the Google Translate into the mic.
Yep, Google Translate.
I'm afraid of what you're going to put in this.
No. I got you, man. We're good on that one.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll do it.
You.
I got it.
Oh, you got it already?
Yeah, I got it. 1 second. It's loading.
Can we turn it off of Telemundo?
Hold on. I got to translate.
John Dunn is probably listening to this right now. Oh.
Hold up. I'm typing it in.
A loyal listener said we're about to be tuned into a adult film website here in just about 5 minutes.
What?
What? Wait, Callum's taking too long. I'm about to do it. What is your score prediction for Thursday?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, man.
Y'all make me mad.
Well,
pronóstico de.
Do I need to do it again?
Nah.
Someone help me.
You want it in German?
No, I don't want it in German. I want it in English, Matthew. Native language of me. Appalachian English. Make it happen.
Okay, what is your score prediction for Thursday?
I don't know. I'm off track now.
We asked you like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, my goodness.
What is your score prediction?
Mine?
Yes.
77-68, Tennessee.
Okay. I'll go 75-62. I think we pull away with it again.
Damn, 13?
65-64, Tennessee.
Nail-biter. I still don't trust this team in a down two with 10 seconds to go, get a bucket.
Down two with 10 seconds to go, you might as well...
Pack it up.
Pack it up, man. Pack it up, get the Hey Dudes on, and use jackhammer and get out of there.
Ah... I would say try and draw a foul, but I don't even – who can you trust on this team? Now you got two free throws, zero time.
Have you just made what happens, what you say after every time something bad happens? Well, time to grab the Hey Dudes and the jackhammer and get to work.
Nah, man. It never ends, actually. Anything bad happens, it just never ends.
Just never ends, or why, God, why?
Yep.
Or, those two. Yep.
It never ends. Something bad happens to you today at 9 a.m., it never ends. You wake up to a phone call.
I'm going
to
say this.
Wake up to...
You know, I love our friend John Dunn. Love him to death. Talk to him pretty frequently. I have never been more happy that he is coming up. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Pleased to be joined by John Dunn of the All of All Call-In Show and All of All Podcast. John, help. Please send help. I don't know what's going on in this studio. I don't know what my middle name is right now. Just please talk to me in English.
So first of all, your middle name is The Sizzle, and don't forget it.
Hey.
man, how are you guys doing today?
Living the dream, man.
Same old, same old. So, you know, some good news coming out of spring practice so far. Quarterback's looking good. Quarterback, you know, a lot of people are expecting a massive drop-off in the offensive productivity from this football team. I don't think it's going to be as massive as people think.
I don't think so either.
The wide receivers are looking really good. All reports so far, Thornton looks like a freak of nature. It's hard to believe that with the level of play that we got out of the quarterback position and wide receiver position last season, there might not even be a drop-off in either position this season. That's incredible. And then, of course, hearing some really good things about the linebacker group right now. Really excited about those guys. Of course, I'm not worried about the defensive line so much. Rodney Garner's going to make sure those guys are in chip shape. But, hey, good news coming out of spring ball so far. And then, of course, you know, it's going to be a big week for Tennessee on the hardwood, too.
Absolutely. And let's go ahead and get right to it. Not just the Vols. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But the Lady Vols as well, picking up a big win last night against Toledo. I mean, it's absolute domination from start to finish. Kelly Jolly Harper keeps on dancing.
The more she does that, the longer she'll be here. It's nice to see Tennessee women's basketball back to where they belong. And if they make an even deeper run than this, that would be fantastic. Virginia Tech's not going to be a slouch. That's their next opponent, right? I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a pretty close game earlier this season with Virginia Tech taking that ACC champions. I got a lot of respect for the Virginia Tech program. The Virginia Tech Lady Hokies are having a whale of a season, but the Lady Vols earlier this season didn't have Jackson when they played in that game, so that's going to be a tremendous difference. It's crazy to think that we're sitting here talking on March 21st about Tennessee men's and women's basketball with a shot to hit the Elite Eight, both of them. So just the fact that we're here now, given the recent, I don't want to say failures, but let's say just missteps of the women's basketball program is astonishing. You know, I think it just speaks volumes to the continuity of progress of all the athletics programs on the campus right now. So great to see the Lady Vols back where they belong, and hopefully they make a deeper run than this.
Absolutely. And news coming out today that former Tennessee assistant Kim English is most likely taking the Providence job. I don't know if he's accepted the offer yet, but, you know, a product of the Rick Barnes coaching tree, basically following in Rick Barnes' footsteps at this point.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. You know, I'm big on Kim English. During his time here, I thought he did a great job of cultivating relationships with players. I'm big on that, and I think he's one of the best in the country at cultivating individual relationships with players, and I think he's a slam dunk hire for Providence if he does indeed take the job. He's got coaching movement all over right now, with Patino taking St. John's job and then the FDU coach taking the job at Iona. So, you know, congratulations to those guys as well, but yeah, man, just excited to see the landscape of college football and how it shifts during this offseason. I expect to see a lot of movement.
A lot of movement indeed. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of your weekly appearance. Tennessee destroys Duke on Saturday in a very physical game, in which a lot of media members were not happy about because they tried to pin us as basically the bad boy Pistons when it wasn't even close. And now there's this narrative. It's like, well, Tennessee plays dirty. It's like, we didn't play that game any different than what we played any other game all year. But all in all, Tennessee looking forward to FAU on Thursday. 9 o'clock tip-off. Does it scare you, John?
Yes,
that
it does. I'm scared to death, man, already. I already know where you're going with this. I'm scared to absolute death. You know, we talked about this on the AVP just the other day. Tennessee, they play up to their competition, and they play down to their competition. I think, you know, you're talking about how they've been painted as bullies and villains. For this Duke game, you know, this is going to sound crazy to some people, but I think that Duke team was one of the weakest physical teams in terms of physicality that Tennessee has played all year. And the fact that they were so, there was such a disparity there in terms of physicality, I think it made it appear that Tennessee was just bullying their way around. But if you look at the articles and things published prior to that game, Duke's going to bully their way around against Tennessee. They've got size, but they're not very strong on the interior.
They were soft.
Exactly. They were soft as Charmin. And you know, you look at the media members now, the national media members, the Duke homers, these guys that are just absolutely melting down because the darling blue bud Duke Blue Devils just couldn't get it done against the boys from the mountains of East Tennessee. So, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, hey, basketball is a physical sport, especially for some of these guys that played in the 80s and 90s. They know better. They played in an era where no blood, no foul. It was nothing like that. I didn't see anything egregious during that Tennessee-Duke game. I saw a team that wanted to win, and I saw a team that gave up with about 8 minutes left. Duke could have stayed in that game the whole time if they'd have wanted to. They gave up because they were beat to death by the physicality of Tennessee. So the only thing that scares me about this matchup with FAU is that Tennessee does seem to struggle with smaller teams that spread the floor a little bit, and they play down to their competition's level. I'd love to see them come out and take a 20-point win in the Sweet 16, as it should be. That's, you know, I mean, talent-wise, that's about what it should be, 20, 22 points, somewhere around there. Now, I know the FAU's a good team, but they're still, they don't have the caliber of athlete that Tennessee has. And Tennessee should be able to just go in and impose their will, especially on the interior. If you get big minutes out of guys like Euros, Jonas, and Tobe Awaka, it's going to be an easy game. Just win on the boards, easy buckets on the inside, build the lead, then shoot all the threes you want. You got a big lead, fire them. Jack them all you want to. It doesn't matter at that point. Just maintain the pace of the game. Make them play your style. Don't do it the opposite way. Tennessee's been guilty of that against the lesser opposition, playing to their style. Make them play to your style, and this is an easy win.
Yeah, that's a great point about getting up for the pun. I mean, if you look back at this year, you got Kansas, beat Duke, obviously, beat Texas at home. Only game you really lost was Arizona, but you showed up, and I think you probably could have won that game had the refereeing being a little more fair. But, I mean,
don't forget Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama also. I'm just thinking of big names, but all three of us in here kind of have under the assumption that Michigan State is going to beat Kansas State, and that's going to be a potential Elite Eight matchup. But I think they would get up more, even though Michigan State has not had a great year, I think they would get up more for a Tom Izzo matchup in the Elite Eight than they would with Kansas State. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also would love to see Rick Barnes coach against Tom Izzo, two legends of the sport, just, you know, going head-to-head. Just, you know, winner moves on to the Final Four in that situation. That would be incredible. The storylines wrap themselves in that situation. However, I will say this. Kansas State is a very, very dangerous team. I said this before the tournament got started. They're actually my sleeper to go all the way to the national championship. They're just, that point guard is unreal. You know, you've got Johnson there, the Florida transfer, who's also a phenomenal athlete. Kansas State's not going to be a slouch, but Michigan State, definitely a team built for a tournament run. I think Tennessee matches up pretty well with Michigan State. I think they're a little bit faster, maybe a little bit lankier, but Tennessee could definitely play with them, no doubt. I think that would be a fantastic matchup, one of the better matchups that you could see in this tournament. But that would be a phenomenal game to witness, would be Tom Izzo and Rick Barnes coaching against each other.
Speaking with John Dunn of the All Vol Call-In Show and All Vol Podcast, John, I want to paint this scenario in your head, and I want you to tell me how this ends. Tennessee in football, clear-cut path to the college football playoff. They lose to a team they shouldn't lose to. Tennessee basketball, clear-cut path to the Final Four. How does this story end?
This is going to sound absurd to everybody that isn't a Tennessee fan. I'm more worried about FAU than I am about Kansas State.
Same.
Michigan State.
Same.
I mean, you name it. Any other team left, I'm more worried. And not just because we play them next, but it's because they're a lower-seeded team. It's one of those, hey, you guys shouldn't even be here. You've had a miracle. If their season ended in the Sweet 16, that would be one of the best seasons they've had in that school's history, if not the best. But that makes them dangerous. They can play the role of spoiler, and if not, then so what? You know, that's their best. But they can literally ruin it for Tennessee completely. That being said, that Elite Eight matchup, no matter who you get, is going to be tough. There's no such thing as an easy win in March. That's another reason I just argue so much with folks over Rick Barnes. There is no such thing as an easy win in March. I don't care if it's the round of 64 or a play-in game, national championship, what have you. There's no such thing. You can ask any of the teams that lost in the first weekend. You've got legendary coaches going down in the first couple weeks. You don't hear about them getting fired, you know, all over the place. So it's crazy, man. March is absolutely crazy. It's the craziest tournament of any sport in the world. So, you know, it's honestly anything can happen, man. But Tennessee is just as capable as anybody else of winning the entire thing. The fact that I actually saw an article probably about 30 minutes before I jumped on the call here with y'all. I believe it was Pat Forty has ranked the remaining 16 teams in the tournament. Do you know where he's got Tennessee at?
Probably last.
15th.
15th.
Nice.
15th.
It's ridiculous.
Had Duke sitting at number 5 last week. And now Tennessee's miraculously 15th after a win like that. Well, that was their miraculous win of the season right there, was the game against Duke. It makes zero sense to me, but I'll tell you this. That's bulletin board material. Tennessee is not going to get any love, but I don't think they care. I think they're using that. You heard the you know, and a lot of people weren't wild about Josiah Jordan James' comments. I think they were more directed about from the outside, some of those media guys, than it was at the fans. But, you know, you heard him say, hey, we've heard all the chatter, and we're using it. You know, we're letting it fuel us. And I think that's what they're doing. And another huge factor of this whole thing is the game is being played in New York, Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Mekhi Ziegler making the trip. Tell me that's not going to be an inspirational spark right there. That guy is going to have that place popping. Everybody in there is going to be chanting for Tennessee. I'm telling you right now, if Mekhi Ziegler can get that crowd going, everybody that's there to see another team, when they're watching the Tennessee game, they're going to be pulling for Tennessee.
Absolutely. And I want to bring in the betting odds for this game. So Tennessee right now, a 4.5-point favorite at minus 118 odds. Against the spread this year, Tennessee is 18-17. FAU, 23-11 against the spread. FAU in their last 5-0. Tennessee in their last 5-3-2. 74% of the money has come in on Tennessee. 70% of the money against the spread has come in for Tennessee. Does that worry you, giving how weird some of the betting odds have been? It's like a lot of money comes in on one team, and that team ends up losing. Does that bother you? Does that scare you at all?
Not really, because I would probably do the same thing, if I'm being honest. I feel like that Duke win was so big for Tennessee mentally. You know, with the way they finished the season in their last 13 games, I think they were 6-7 in their last 13. Getting a big win over a team like that when everybody had you. You know, I said it before the season, I wanted to see this team with their back against the wall. And we're seeing them with their back against the wall right now. Everybody under God's green earth had picked Duke to beat Tennessee, with the exception of the Tennessee faithful. You know, you had some folks here and there that were picking Tennessee just to pick Tennessee. They were SEC and then blah, blah, blah. But that win did more for them mentally than I think just about anything this season. You know, you lose your starting point guard. People are telling you can't win this game without a point guard. There's no way. You go in, you dominate the game. And now you're still hearing the chatter of how you're not worth anything. Like I said, I've probably done the same thing, man. I don't think FAU covers. I think this game's going to – it could potentially get out of hand.
You know, and it's so weird. We were actually just giving our score predictions, and with both of their score predictions, they – basically had Tennessee covering. I was the only one that had FAU covering. I said, what did I say, 66-64?
65-64.
Ooh, listen, I might end up having to get some sort of beta blockers or something before this game. If it's anything like that, man, see, I'm looking for like a 74-60 type win, a 74-62 type win, somewhere around in there. I feel like Tennessee does what they're supposed to do early on, build a lead. I think the one of the big contributing factors to the victory the other day was the 14-2 run to end the first half. You know, that's hard to battle back from, especially when you start the second half with that same momentum. So if Tennessee can get early momentum against FAU, they have not seen a defense like they're going to see. I get that they're a pretty good offensive team, but they have not seen anything like they're going to see against the Tennessee team, especially if they can keep up the offense or the defensive intensity. The only thing that worries me, much like the Duke game, is going to be the whistle. If they can keep the whistles in their pockets, then I think Tennessee wins this one going away and makes the Elite Eight for the second time in school history.
And you know, it's so weird because you know that Urosh has developed this reputation and he's always got eyes on him. Always. I mean, we saw it this past Saturday.
Yep.
Eyes are always on him. Within, I think it was the first 5 minutes, he had two fouls.
Yep, two fouls. Yep.
Yes.
And I mean, they're going to be watching that.
And I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you, I wanted him as far away from the court the other day as anybody else. I mean, at halftime, he had one rebound. No other stats. He had more fouls than rebounds or points. We got to have more out of a 7-footer. You know what I'm saying? I'm hard on it. But I think this game right here will be a big opportunity for him. I expect, you know, we talked about this a little bit too, Olivier and JJJ. I expect them to step up big time. Olivier against Duke, phenomenal. If he can continue that, he's going to increase his draft stock dramatically throughout this tournament. If he can maintain that level of play, which is going to be hard to do, but this is one of the games where he could continue that. Now, if he does it in the Elite Eight, then he's definitely going to be getting some more attention. But I think the guys like Olivier and JJJ will be the deciding factor. And I'd like to see Julian Phillips make a splash too. But I think everybody on the team this upcoming game has an opportunity to do something. I don't see anywhere on the floor that FAU matches up with Tennessee, and I'm just like, oh, I don't really like that. Even at guard, I think that Tennessee is just better all the way across the board from coach down to water boy. I think that this one should be a handy Tennessee victory, and that's what kind of scares me about it. So I'm just gonna keep the cautious optimism. I'm going to take Tennessee by 12. I'm going to go 74-62. I think that's about round the best what we'll see.
Do y'all think it will hurt us? Because like Jake just said, I mean, the refs will be expecting the physicality. So will FAU now. We're not catching anybody off guard now that the national media has made such a big deal of it, acting like we're convicted felons out there. But, I mean, that's a huge part of it now, too, because Duke was not expecting it. I don't think any of us were really expecting it. The only time we've been that physical was against Alabama, and even then, no one brought up any of the physicality, but now it's just such a huge deal. That's a big thing, man. Like, that's a huge edge against them, and if the refs are calling it close, that basically negates everything.
Absolutely. Now, the one positive thing about that is especially when you look at interior play, you can run a fairly small lineup, let's say Olivier, and when I say small, I'm talking non-7-footers. You can run Olivier, JJJ, Phillips, and Santee, and then have, you know, one of three with Euros, Jonas, and Tobey Awaka. I realize Awaka's not 7 foot, but he might as well be. He's so strong. But you can run any one of those three guys. If they get in foul trouble, you still got, you know, a serviceable interior presence. Now, I would agree with you, man. It seems like they're painting this picture for no reason. And I highly doubt a man that goes by the nickname Deacon is going to run a dirty program. Rick Barnes is known for being just a good person. I mean, he's known more for being a good person than he is for his tournament run. I mean, it's crazy what they're trying to do, and I think it all goes back to the football season last year. Call me crazy, but I think it all goes back to the Ole Miss game last year. They threw some trash on the field. People get over it. Good grief. I mean, exactly. It's getting old now. Yeah, and I mean, Tennessee fans are vocal, but show me one fan base that isn't vocal, and I'll show you a fan base that doesn't give a crap about their sports program.
Ole Miss did it first, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. And they did. They did. They started the whole thing. I was there.
And a much smaller space, too.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, and on the gym floor, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm telling you, this Ole Miss fan started the trash throwing back at Neyland, too, but we'll talk about that some other time. But they're trying to paint this picture, and it's for an obvious reason. They're trying to get the pregame whistles. Their coach made his little, what he thought was just a slam dunk of a joke it fell flat. I mean, I got secondhand embarrassment from watching that video. But they're trying to paint this picture, and it could, you know, adversely affect the team, but we'll see. Like I said, they've got some bodies to throw. Tennessee's got depth. I don't think FAU's got depth. Tennessee's already got the talent advantage, the size advantage, et cetera, and, you know, the depth advantage. So I'm not super worried yet. We'll see. In the first 5 minutes of that game, I'll know exactly whether or not I can relax.
Stellar appearance by John Dunn. John, one more thing before we let you go. Have you ever been blocked by one of your coworkers on Twitter?
Not on Twitter. I have on Facebook. I have been blocked by a coworker on Facebook in the past, and it was for a sports take. He was a Kentucky fan, and you all know how I am. And I use some language that I shan't repeat on air. And, yeah. And the funniest thing is, too, is since then, he is now a Tennessee fan. So, yeah.
Wow.
Right. Exactly. So I've been in that situation, but hopefully y'all can resolve your issues and everything's all peachy clean around there.
Nah. Nah.
I met him the other day, man. I should have stayed and talked to him a little bit. I haven't really got to chop it up with him a little bit.
You might want to, you might not. John, tell us where to find your stuff, man.
Guys, as always, you can find our stuff allballcallinshow.com. You can listen to the podcast there. Had a great one this past week. Jake, it was awesome to have you, man. Again, as always, being a part of the ABP is awesome. And you're fantastic. Love having you. We had Jordan Moore as well, who was with us there on overtime. Just a little bit ago. It was an awesome show, by the way. I love that. And then you can find all of our stuff on Facebook as well, All Ball Call-In Show. Just search it up in your search bar. Then you can find me on Twitter at JXHNDUNN, all smashed together, one word. I'm pretty responsive, so I try to talk to everybody. But, guys, I appreciate you all having me, man.
Appreciate it, John. We'll talk soon.
It's like bad boy Pistons we are.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. We just got a...
Yeah, Uros is Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah, I was about to say, a team full of Bill Laimbeers.
Man, you got Bill Laimbeer.
Who's Dennis Rodman? Kamwa?
Yeah.
I guess. Olivier, I would say Iwaka more.
Yeah.
Julian Phillips, Joe Dumars.
Iwaka gets nice every single rebound, just like
Iwaka's Rodman. Bill Mahorn.
Yeah. Bill Mahorn, I mean, good Lord, man. I mean, we're not the bad boy. We're not basically just...
Who's Isaiah Thomas?
Bezekai.
Yep, two short point guards.
Yep, there you go. Yep, we're the bad boy Pistons. Yep.
Goodness. Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
Your pick.
Final segment of the program. It's overtime. It's Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Ringy, Matthew Catlin, and you. A lot of good feedback on John's appearance. A lot of good feedback from the show yesterday and today and last week. Because we tell it like it is. Looks like you need to go to Dr. Laura Linderman. You need to go to lindermansportsmedicine.com. Fill out the questionnaire. Schedule yourself a visit next time you go to Memphis.
Yeah, I haven't been in a while. Might need to. Whole body just hurts. Just every part. But hey.
But did you have to use a jackhammer while wearing Hey Dudes today?
No, I did not, thankfully. No, I don't have much jackhammer experience.
Matthew has this image in his head, and he has reenacted it.
Oh man. Thank you for telling us you used a jackhammer. Your day has been spent with Telemundo.
Yeah! No.
Telemundo.
Get it off of this garbage. Your TV privileges are banned, both of you.
Telemundo and jackhammer is really wonderful.
I didn't realize how heavy these things were.
I mean, I've never picked one up, nor do I ever plan on picking up a jackhammer. So.
Imagine picking up two 45-pound weights.
One in each hand? Not heavy?
Yeah, one in each hand is not bad. You're talking about just like...
I mean, the base of it itself is where all the weight is, and then you got your handles on the side.
I mean, if you just pick... So just pick up 90 pounds.
Yeah, 90 pounds.
90 to 100 pounds. But you have to be able to balance that. Well, while hitting the same spot over and over.
I don't know, man. Just get, I don't know.
Nice.
Lost my train of thought. Thanks. Back to John Dunn's call. Made some great points about the game, and the first 5 minutes will tell you, and... Davis made some great points about the whistle, you know, made out to seem like we're literally playing like
we're just assassins.
Yeah.
Well, basically playing Jordan rules.
Yeah, I mean, basically just absolutely just annihilating people like Andrew Bynum to
J.J. Barea.
Yeah, like we're not just forming people.
Ron Artest to James Harden.
I mean, we're not literally doing what Kareem did and punched that guy in the face just walking up the court. I mean,
that wasn't Kareem. That was Kermit Washington.
No, it was a
Artest elbow to the temple.
Yep, elbow to the temple. Andrew Bynum forearm to the stomach area. I mean, we're not doing that out here, man. We're playing physical basketball, man. I don't even know if that first one, did he actually hit him with his elbow? I couldn't even tell on TV.
A little, but it was a flop.
Yeah.
It was 100% a flop.
Yeah, Kyle Flopakowski, man.
Flopakowski.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
You know, I was thinking about it today. If you look back, even in the NBA, the physical teams that try to bully you and just play a bunch of half-court offense, I mean, the greatest.
Grizzlies.
Let me finish my thought. Thank you. The Grizzlies are a great example. Grit and Grind Grizzlies, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Tony Allen, Mike Conley, that team. And really their reign, or whatever you want to call it, came to an end when they played the Warriors in 2015. Because the analytic ball at offense will always trump defense, especially in today's game.
Yep.
You get more opportunities playing that way. And
just like football.
Yeah, yep. If you bog it down and you get a little bit, just tweak a little bit of your defensive game plan, you'll be able to outmatch the physicality by strategy.
I mean, you remember this game vividly when we played the Thunder that year, and were we up like 21, 25 points?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Reggie Jackson went insane.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson game, yeah. He had like, they came back and
he had
won.
Like 40. No, they lost. We can't. They tied it up.
Oh, yeah.
We beat them in five games.
Yeah.
Oh, how much time we got left?
7 minutes.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo?
What happened with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I heard it in the vestibule.
In the vestibule?
Yep.
Huh?
That's called, apparently.
What?
It's just called a lobby to me.
It's a vestibule.
What? What is it?
The green lobby out there.
It's a lobby.
Yeah,
it's a vestibule.
Sure.
You know where you go in a Kroger and you get your carts?
That's the vestibule.
That's apparently a vestibule. I just call it an area. Just where you get the cars.
Yeah, it's just called area.
No, it's the vestibule.
Just whatever, double doors.
There's no reason to use these big words to describe simple things, man. Just call it a lobby, call it a cart area, call it a...
Well, there's no reason to put Telemundo on the television behind me, but guess what? I had to endure that for 5 minutes before I talked to one of my good friends, John Dunn.
I'd rather watch Telemundo than Musa Cisse play basketball.
Yep. Telemundo or vestibule? I'm going with Telemundo all day.
Nah. Vestibule.
Yeah, your point. Wait, what was your original point?
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Dang.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the, like, the free prostitutes he gets.
Yeah, he's basically getting free sex for life.
I'm sure he loves that.
Sure, sick. Sick. What? So it's just legal nowadays?
In Las Vegas, yes.
Prostitution is legal in Las Vegas.
Yes, I still have a picture from when we went there for a basketball tournament.
Oh,
2017. It says,
"Be mindful of who's listening."
Well, I don't care.
2017. I'm pretty sure you never called one. So.
Well, we did.
Nice. Just walk in the hotel room. Bah!
We did it at the lake as a joke and sent him to the like Bellagio or something.
Walking
the
hotel.
Wait.
Here it is.
It's like Bellagio.
Girls direct to you. Snapchat calling tonight.
Oh, great. Got sent to some random dude at the Bellagio. Nice. Kevin, he just opened up his door with his wife.
You're welcome.
See that?
You're welcome.
God forbid he gets a peaceful trip in Las Vegas.
We have talked about free sex for life, jackhammers, and Telemundo. And you talked to me in Spanish, of which I understood nothing.
Hey, man, you just gotta know the ins and outs, man.
Good show, if you ask me. We're back in summer football territory where we're just antsy at this point. Two more days. Actually, two more shows.
Yep.
And then the game will tip off.
You know what Spanish I know, Matthew?
Hola.
Roja. No, it's rojo.
Arroz con pollo.
Okay, so chicken, cheese, and rice.
Modelo.
It's beer.
It's a beer, yeah. Dos Equis. You can have said
Dos
that.
Equis.
You can have said that.
I will not. You're thirsty.
Corona.
I don't like Coronas.
Have with a lime.
No. Nah. Yeah, land shark over Corona.
I don't know what land shark is. I know.
You don't know what land shark is?
Ole Miss.
Oh yeah, Ole Miss.
No, the beer.
Oh no.
It's like the American version of Corona.
No.
It's Jimmy Buffett's beer.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, I mean, I hope our listeners enjoy the Spanish speaking on this show. You know.
I'd be like old times at this station. Is this damn fourth mic on?
I don't think so.
What? Well, if it has, it's been on the entire show. Oh, it was.
Sounded like I was in a damn cave.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so...
Well, now we sound a lot better in my headphones. Something sounded off all show, and then I finally figured it out. I'm like, that damn fourth mic's on.
What are we going to talk about tomorrow?
Well, the fact that the show before us cannot... Never mind.
Should we do trivia like them also?
I actually dig it.
I'm not going to get down in the gutter like them. I already went and ate at Burger King just so I could know what it feels like to be bottom tier today. I don't want to resort to that.
I actually have an ESPN trivia board if people want to get that down back.
Here we go, buddy. Sports trivia is one thing.
Yeah, sports trivia, yeah.
I don't give a damn about what the least common M&M is.
Brown, probably.
It is.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't really care either.
Or how many languages read from right to left?
Two.
Apparently it's 11.
11, sure.
Right to left.
The 12, excuse me.
Yeah, right to left. So they read from this side, that side, not the way we read. Yeah,
obviously we read left to right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so you said right to left, like you didn't know what he was talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Was it like Egyptian?
If you want to play sports trivia, that's one thing. I'll allow that because that pertains to the purpose of the show, which is a sports radio show.
I have sports trivia. We ever want to pull that card out?
Well, we got 2 minutes. Hit me with something.
Who was the 1969 Finals MVP?
Bill Russell.
No.
Wilt Chamberlain.
No.
Jerry West.
Yep.
What else you got?
Hurry up here.
Trivia. Okay. Let me think, man.
Where are the 1996 Olympics held?
Atlanta.
Okay.
Who's
the all-time leading scorer in NBA history?
LeBron.
Who is the head coach for the University of Tennessee that WWE and WCW legend Kevin Nash punched?
Tennessee head coach?
Yes.
Not coach.
Kevin Nash, the wrestler, played basketball here.
And he punched his coach?
Yes.
Was it Buzz Peterson?
No. Oh, way before that.
Way. This guy.
Houston?
Nope.
No. Was somebody in the 90s, I'm guessing?
No. Way before
80s?
That.
80s? Yeah, 80s?
Don DeVoe.
Was that before Houston?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
When was the last time Duke won a national championship?
2014? No.
15.
15 with Grayson. Yeah. Huh. Oh.
It's the last time we won a national championship in anything.
Pat Summitt got her one in 2008.
Yep, trick question.
Yep. 1998, man. Don't be a casual.
Keyword.
You know what, Matthew? You get an F for the day. You get an F.
Yeah, great trivia question. One trivia question.
I said I had an ESPN trivia board at home, not on me. I'm not going to pull it out and just bring it in.
What the hell does that do us any good?
Why don't we just play Scrabble? Sorry. Monopoly.
The game of life.
Yahtzee, man. Oh, man. I don't know. Let's get the
Scrabble.
Uno. Let's play some Uno. Connect
a live
four.
Uno game.
Let's go. Let's play some poker. Go fish. Spades. Spoons. I don't know.
Forks.
Yeah.
Rummy.
I don't know. What's the game? We got the little marbles and the little wooden board thing. You got to keep moving.
Chinese checkers?
No. No.
Squid game?
No. It's like. You have like
it's called just called marbles.
Yeah, sure, marbles, mahjong. I mean, just anything, man.
Jenga.
That's gonna do it for us.
Play war,
battleship.
Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Something else is coming up next. I'm done with this. I'm going home and going to bed. Love y'all. Good night.